A lot of people are attracted to the good news of God's gospel that's offered through his son, Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, certain questions are going to linger in their minds. For example, why are there so many different churches? And if there are so many, then why can't the followers of Jesus Christ just learn to get along? And what can possibly be done about all the religious division that exists today? Is it possible for me to be just simply a Christian following Jesus without being a member of any denomination? Well, in reply to these questions, some effort to discount the significance of religious division suggests that there are differences, that the differences are not all that great, that religious division is good, for it enables people to find a church that suits them personally or fits their personality. But there are several reasons why I believe these answers are wrong and do a disservice to the cause of Christ. I want to bring a few lessons to you to address several objects that I have in mind. The first, to explain why denominationalism is wrong, and to show how one can simply be a Christian serving Jesus without being a member of any denomination, and to suggest how followers of Christ might be able to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, which Paul writes about in Ephesians 4, verse 1. So in this lesson, I want to try to explain why denominationalism is wrong and why anyone who truly follows Jesus will do all they can to avoid participating in denominationalism. So as we did last week, we're going to define denominationalism and what is a denomination. As we noticed last week, according to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name or organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. That's what a denomination is, according to man's definition. From Webster's dictionary, it says that denominations are a religious organization uniting in a single legal and administrative body a number of local congregations. So in simple terms that all of us can understand, a denomination, according to man's own definition, is a group of congregations that are joined together under some governing body. And the number of congregations can be as few as two or more. But by their tie to a governing body above the local congregation, by definition, they are denominated from all congregations that do not submit to the same authority. Let's look at some examples. The Roman Catholic Church is a denomination made up of those churches that submit to the Pope in Rome. The Eastern Orthodox Church is a denomination made up of those churches that submit to the Patriarch of Constantinople. The Anglican Church of England is a denomination made up of those churches that submit to the Archbishop of Canterbury. The Lutheran Church of the Missouri Synod is made up of those churches that submit to that synod in Missouri. The International Church of Christ is made up of those churches that submit to the Boston Church of Christ. Now, these are just a few of the thousands of different denominations that exist in the United States, as well as the world over. So what is denominationalism? Again, let's go back to man's own definition. The American Heritage Dictionary says that it is the tendency to separate into religious denominations, the advocacy of separation into religious denominations, the strict adherence to a denomination, or sectarianism. And again, we go back to Webster's, and he defines it as devotion to denominational principles or interest. It is a narrow emphasizing of denominational differences, sectarianism. So for this purpose in this lesson, in these lessons that I'm hoping to bring, I'm going to apply the term to any approval of the denomination division that exists today. Now, I understand that many people in denominations today are not all that devoted to their denominational principles or interests. but by being a member in a denomination, they are by implication supporting separation into religious organizations, denominations. But is denominationalism really all that bad? Am I suggesting that one cannot serve Christ faithfully while participating in a religious division? Well, the answer to both questions is yes. So to understand the reason for saying this, let's answer the question why denominationalism is wrong. First, it's wrong because it is unscriptural. That means that there is no Bible authority, no scriptures in God's word to support denominationalism. There's no basis in the Bible for local churches being divided up into various different denominational bodies. There is no denomination, let me repeat this, there is no denomination that can go to the Bible and say, see that passage right there? That is our church. That is our denomination. When we read the New Testament, local congregations were independent and self-governing. Church organizations, congregations were limited to within the local congregations, with elders, also known as pastors, bishops, overseers, and presbyters, appointed to oversee only that particular congregation of which they were members, Acts 20 and 1 Peter 5. The only authority above the local church in the New Testament was Christ and his apostles. Not a synod, not a council, not a whatever. And once the church began, apostles were not replaced after they died. But through the word of God, the authority of Christ and his apostles continues. So individuals, synods, conferences, the list goes on, that presume to have authority over local congregations today are doing so without scriptural authority. Second, denominationalism is anti-scriptural. In other words, not only is it without scriptural support, but it is contrary to what the Bible teaches, to what God's word teaches. It is contrary to the prayer of Jesus for unity among believers in John 17, verses 20 through 23. It is condemned by Paul in his epistle to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, he said that there are to be no divisions among believers. And he says in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that sectarianism is a sign of carnality or worldliness. Paul would write in Ephesians 2 that it opposes the efforts of Christ on the cross. Jesus died to break down the wall of division. He died to reconcile man to God in one body, not many. Just as sinning works against the efforts of Christ on the cross, because he also died to put away sin. So it is with denominational division. Third, denominationalism is harmful to the cause of Christ. Jesus knew that unity among his disciples would be the final apologetic. In John 17, in verse 21, when he offered that prayer for unity, he said that the world may believe. And in view of Jesus' words, we shouldn't be surprised when unbelievers are slow to accept the gospel coming from a church that is divided. Many point to the divided condition of those professing to follow Christ. Atheists, agnostics, they often use religious division as an excuse not to believe in God. An adherence to non-Christians, Christian religions, such as Islam and Judaism and others, are often going to use denominationalism as a reason not to believe in Christ. Denominationalism has also given support to encourage the cults. Mormonism started in reaction to the denominationalism of Joseph Smith's day. And those who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses use regular division to encourage people to follow their strictly controlled organization. And another thing is that understanding that denominationalism is wrong has led to these interesting statements. And you can look these up yourself. Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation movement, he says, "I ask that men make no reference to my name and call themselves not Lutherans, but Christians. What is Luther? My doctrine, I am sure, is not mine, nor have I been crucified for anyone. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 would not allow Christians to call themselves Pauline or Petrine, but Christian. How then should I, poor, foul carcass that I am, come to have men give to the children of Christ a name derived from my worthless name? No, no, dear friends, let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians after him whose doctrine we have. John Wesley wrote, who also was another great Reformation leader, among the Methodists or Wesleyans, he wrote, "Would to God that all party names and unscriptural phrases and forms which have divided the Christian world were forgotten, and that the world and that the very name Methodist might never be mentioned more, but be buried in eternal oblivion." Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest Baptist preachers who ever lived, says, "I look forward with pleasure to the day that there will be not a Baptist living. I hope that the Baptist name will soon perish, but let Christ's name rule forever." Boy, I tell you what, that day has not yet come. And denominationalism, with its religious division, seems to be as strong as it ever has been. But all is not lost. Because throughout the world, more and more people are throwing aside their denominational shackles. They are following Jesus Christ in the freedom of the gospel of liberty that comes from being simply a Christian. And what would be a surprise to some of them, they are able to do so being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, as Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren in chapter 2 and verse 2. So how is that possible? How is it possible that we can come together and worship Christ under the same doctrine without having different names? Well, I believe it's a hope that we have to demonstrate it, to show, starting with hopefully the next lesson we have next Sunday. But it begins with two things. The first is we have to have a strong desire to follow Jesus and his prayer for unity. A stronger desire to follow Jesus and simply follow him than to have that desire to be called a Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or whatever the case may be. Remember, Jesus prayed for unity, that all would be one as he and the Father were. John 17, verses 20 through 23. And secondly, an understanding of the carnal nature of division and why denominationalism is wrong. Dear friend, I don't want you to simply be a Christian, but a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize, I called names today, and some of you may take great offense to that. But I called names in an effort to help bring us all closer to Christ, to put aside different names and just simply be a Christian, a child of God, a follower of Christ, and not some of these denominational names that have divided people throughout this country and around the world. But if you do disagree with this lesson, and I have no doubt that some of you will, I would be more than willing and happy to sit down and discuss today's lesson or any others with you. Just be sure to bring your Bible and show me book, chapter, and verse where you can find your church listed in the pages of the New Testament. Again, I want to thank you for being with me today, and I look forward to being with you next Lord's Day morning.